Saints or Sinners is back. Full panel tonight, post-season. So we're going to check in with the crew to find out what they're up to. Let's play the intro music and get back to it. Saints or Sinners post-season episode. For those of you who are new here, every time you hear the siren sound, that's when we pause to ask you a trivia question. So when you hear that, just stop and answer and let us know your points. You can DM us at Saints or Sinners Pod on Instagram. On today's episode, what we've been up to in the postseason. We're going to review our trade period, how we went in the draft, who's looking good in the preseason. Coach Proc is going to give us how the new VFL program will look, what's it look like for our future. Fantasy updates from St. Trenor, and we'll give our early predictions for next year. All right, now a podcast is nothing without a panel, and we have a good mix of talent here for you today, so let's cue the intro music. First up, it's the man at the stove in the heart of every St. Kilda debate. He spent more time at Moorabbin than most of the players. When the Saints are flying, he's all smiles, but when we're down, you hear about it. Head chef by trade, master ranter by reputation, it's Head Chef Yoz.
Yes, yes, and it's HOSPO finals time. It's December, Christmas time, the whips are cracking. The weather's not really getting any better, but it's Christmas season, so all the people are out, so we're starting to get really busy, so it's exciting, exciting times in HOSPO. But it's good to be back with you boys. It's been a while, we've got so much to chat about, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, he's up and about, Chef.
Next up, it's our fantasy fanatic. If you've ever binge-watched those mini-matches or match highlights for the AFL app, it's because this panellist has produced over 1,500 games of match highlights, working for the AFL himself. Not only that, he has now finished in the top 100, I think, thrice. Finishing first for St. Kilda fans in Victoria across AFL Dream Team and AFLW Dream Team, it's our fantasy fanatic, St. Trenor.
Thank you, thank you. That was a very nice intro. I did have my all-time fantasy year, so it was nice that it coincided with the podcast. AFLW season wrapped up yesterday, so I'm all on the Saints men's season.
And possibly a New York correspondent. Something we'll discuss
to come.
What have we been up to?
And finally, bringing us back to earth with a dose of reality, it is a man who is a former AFL athletes development coach, a former VFL head coach, and now the head coach of the North Ballarat Football Club, married into a St. Kilda family, so he's part of our tribe by association. It is Coach Proc.
Lads, how's it going?
Great. Up and about. Good to have you here, Coach Proc, to dissect it all.
It's one of those random times of year, isn't it? You know, when not much happening with content, so we're seeing all the 2K time trials, who's winning, who's buffed, who's up and about, and I'll tell you now, it means nothing. Right, because you've got to get the sharing.
This guy has
right? fitness is still important, but I'm just putting it out there straight away. Don't get all carried away about Wilson and these blokes. Let's just wait and see what happens.
This guy hasn't seen the photo of him.
Pre-season champion.
Oh, they're bloody massive. Oh my God, his pipes are so big. Give me a spell.
Hosting today is myself, Jules Bolt. I used to host a show called AFL Bites on the Footy Live app. Now I'm all in on the Saints, ready to bring you some stats and some insights today. All right, well, you know the panel, you know the agenda. Welcome to Saints or Sinners. Let's get straight into the action. All right, well, why don't we just discuss the panel? It's been a while since we've had a full panel of four, so why don't we discuss and see what everyone's been up to postseason? Head Chef Yoz.
Oh, well, normally I get up and about during the postseason because it's actually the Saints' big time of the year. We have the trade, we have the draft, which is normally massive for Saints fans. I'm all over the draft, but this year I just laid back and had a relaxing time because we only had two picks in the draft. But we've been busy at work. We had setback. Thought we'd get it on Sunday last week on the off day, sit back and watch the first test of the Ashes. But it was over in 2 days. Oh, my gosh. It was good to see the Aussies pound England. Yeah, I'd been 2 days in Perth, so that was good fun. We'll discuss that a little bit. But that's about it for me. Yeah, just the usual stuff.
The Poms remind me a bit of the Saints. They're sort of making up as they went.
Well, there were a couple of moments there where they were on top, like the Saints.
That's what I mean.
They all fell apart at the end. So hopefully that doesn't mirror our season next year.
Trenor, what have you been up to post-season? Or have you really had a post-season? The AFLW has been calling.
Yeah, footy never stopped for me. Went straight back into AFLW and just wrapped up last night. So after 12 regular season rounds and then 4 weeks of finals, we finally have our winner, North Melbourne, 27 games in a row. Everyone saw that coming. So I now get a nice break for 2.5 months and I'm going to dedicate that to AFL fantasy. No, I don't think I will, but I actually did just come back from New York. As you panelists will know, I went up there for some work opportunities. Love what I do with the AFL and the platform that we use to create our highlights, and some sports in the US as well use it. So went to meet some people there and think about some potential future opportunities.
And rumour has it there could be tennis on the cards for you next. Is that right?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Look out.
I'll be producing some content at the Oz Open, which would be nice.
Oh, big dog at the Oz Open. Yeah. Look out.
Went and got my nice jacket the other day from Rob Laver Arena.
So all Ralph going
they,
on
they've
there?
Decked me out. I couldn't believe it. They don't just give you the T-shirt. They give you the socks, the shoes, the works. Mate, unbelievable.
Support the sponsors.
Absolutely.
And had they heard of the Saints overseas? Or?
No, there was actually a lot of people from overseas touring the facility when I went. No one would know who the Saints were.
New Orleans Saints, not the
Saints. Maybe they know who Nassar is with that $2 million contract.
Coach Brock, what have you been up to post-season?
Mate, just looking after my son. I'm getting... babysitting. It's actually called parenting. I'm babysitting, but busy on there, just a bit of work. Actually giving some love and time to my other job that I have, you know.
Yep.
Because footy takes up a fair bit of your time when you're in the nuts and bolts of it. So, but yeah, the boys are back on track now. We had our first run back at the Roosters last week. It was good. Nice. The list looks healthy. Had a little turnover, but we've picked up a couple of good players. Actually, we've actually got one nephew of the greatest, Tony Lockett, playing for us.
Oh, stop it.
So there's a bit, I just thought I'd mention that to the Saints supporters. So we literally at the North Ballarat Roosters have Jai Lockett at full forward.
Wow.
The name itself is pretty good.
North Ballarat and the Lockett family.
Huge.
Jai Lockett.
So
full forward as well.
Big full forward, mate.
Wow.
So we're really happy to get him on board. And I think it's given the whole community a bit of a like, whoa, wow, that's so cool, you know. So
we'll have to get a pig and put him on the ground.
Build on a promise in 2024. Got a lot of youngsters in there.
Yeah, we blood a lot of young blokes. So I think, we're in a nice position. Might be a bit of pressure on me next year.
A
bit like the Saints, going to get the dub. But we'll get into that later.
Tracking back to, you said parenting. Now, Jager Saint, he is a fan of the Saints. Now, which is a player. He's starting to say that he's got a favourite player here.
Max King.
Max King.
Amazing.
Wow.
Max King. I mean, he's never actually seen him play before because he's never on the park, but I don't know how he's Max King.
Wow.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's
so Max King's his favourite. Because we'll kick in the footy and then, you know, he's with the young fella and they're yelling out different names. Oh, you know, Dylan Shield or whatever your name is. He's like, Max King. And I'm like, what? Max King?
Yeah. Dylan Shield, fringe player.
Dylan Shield, yeah. Old mate Matt Essence supporter.
Yeah, nice.
That was good fun.
Oh, get around, Winksy. It has been the same old for myself, but I will say that I have been doing a few video editing for Gumby World, who is one of our sponsors, the sponsors of the Saints, right? That's been super exciting. Maybe they saw some of the edits on the Saints page and were convinced.
Yes, I've been interested to see what Jules, I've been mysterious, yes. Haven't seen him on WhatsApp recently. Yeah,
been very quiet. Been
something in the works.
Something up to you.
All right, our first question. Now, yours touched on our draft this year, and it wasn't as exciting for Saints fans because we didn't get a pick until the 40s. So I thought I'd go back in time to see if we actually did have some success so you Saints fans can get excited about a potential pick 40. So in 2007, we picked someone up in the 40s, and they went on to be a gun midfielder. Who was it?
In 2007?
I was going to say Montagna.
No, too early on Joey.
Was he?
Yeah, oh,
okay. Well, that was he was playing around that time, wasn't he? Mm. Yeah, 2007. A gun midfielder for us.
Retired now, obviously.
Jack Stephen, was it?
It was Jack Stephen. He was taken at pick 42.
Great pick.
And absolutely great pick.
Yep.
Speedster, very handy.
And he was a fan of the local RSL at Bentley as well. Remember we saw him a couple of times down there?
Hopefully not during the season.
He's left now.
Those days were acceptable for the Saints at that time, I think.
Yeah. Well, why don't we get into our first topic on today's agenda, the trade period. So we saw, obviously, a few... I guess signings that we already knew about, but something I think there's going to be a scathing chef's knife coming for someone that we didn't sign.
Oh, and yes.
There will be a little bit.
We'll talk about it. Like, we'll go get the positive stuff. Let's go through who we got just to recap for everyone. We got the free agents, the two big ones. We got TDK, which was on all year. I think, are we happy with that, TDK? We've done the carp already, apparently.
Yeah, well,
I
think we all agreed that the ruckman was going to help because the ruck hit outs were a real concern, and so are clearances, and you've got to fix that. So they did good stuff.
I think a lot of people were disasters. A lot of people upset over the salary, but the thing is we've got to pay the Saints tax at the moment. That's what you pay for years. No one premiership, no success. You've got to build it from somewhere. Yeah, you can, obviously it take. There's not a lot of A grade players that get to move.
It's a bit like,
so you got to go around and
jump in here. But a bit like the Bulldogs, they paid Tom Boyd.
Yep.
The tax on, they paid him a fortune, right?
Yes.
And then he wins him in the grand final, has that moment, right? And that's all. But he didn't have much of a year.
Yes.
But in the end, they paid the tax. They paid big, big money for him. And yeah, got it.
Man, and he's absolutely loved.
Yeah, they love him. Yeah.
For that one match.
And then he finished up not long after.
TDK will have a better career.
So TDK's a win, yep.
Yeah, we're very happy with him.
Jack? Jane, what do you think? You're happy with Jack?
Silvani?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, look, he's going to play, right? He's going to play every week. He will be in the team for the locker room, professionalism, standards. You know, maybe, yes, maybe that is a good thing.
Good
like,
man.
He's a really good club man, real good guy off the field. And I think he sets a good standards on the field because of the way he plays. So, yes, I like that pick. Yeah.
And Finn's a bit of off-field quality as well. We got the Silvani family on board. Yeah. We got Mother Joe, who's always good in the stand. You got to build that sort of quality in the St. Kilda supporters.
I'm leaning to Jack. Jack's a good pick.
Who and our absolute superstar. We're all on board. I think even Clint's coming around. Oh, Flying Ryan. He's absolutely smashing it in the market. He's flipping rugs. He's flipping the gear. He might sell more rugs and he kicks more goals, but I'm absolutely stoked to have him on board. I think he's great for the for the atmosphere. He's a premiership player. He's a 20 goal a game forward.
How 20 goals a game would be nice,
wouldn't it? I think he'll be really good actually. That's just the fact that he's out of West Coast. Imagine being in purgatory at West Coast for 2 years, no wins, not playing with anyone decent up in the forward.
What do you
line.
Like see?
Well, I'm just thinking, that's that $7 membership offer for Nasir Wangdin Miller that they send out. I don't know how many we sold, maybe 7,000 of those. If you had Flying Ryan behind that advertising campaign, we would have sold double, triple.
With the magic carpet.
He's a genius marketer. I just love his Instagram.
Who is he marketing for, though?
Street X at the moment.
Street X. So he just does
They are the real deal. He's got a gig for life after footy. He is well set now in the marketing world. I mean, people go and study at university for years. You know, obviously we know people in the marketing industry who are doing quite well, but no one can quite match the levels of Flying Ryan now as a marketer.
He's
so good at what he does.
He's doing everything.
Yeah. I mean, this. I disagree with on-field. I just don't think that he's what you need, but I'm leaning towards it because I'm seeing this guy trying to sell rugs and marketing and potentially he offers something in the locker room, right? Which as a coach, I know it's very important, like that connection and synergy, and there's a few Indigenous boys there. So he's got a great experience in big games and maybe that is what they want. And, you know, full credit to the selectors and the recruiters to go out there and say, you know, we're going to do this and get it done. So, no, I don't think he's right for you on field, but potentially offered, I think, yes.
Well, I think that's three positives. We'll take that as a positive. I think he just adds to the club we're building it.
Well, it's good, isn't
absolutely
it?
Absolutely does. Yeah.
But it's another player that wanted to come as well, and it's a premiership player. We can argue how effective he'll be. He's like a three-year contract, a pretty extensive deal
Saints
for
tax.
Him. Saints tax, that's it. Then I think the interesting one is Flanders.
This is the one I'm most excited about.
We are so well excited. Clint, can you tell us exactly what type of player he is? Well, to be honest, who actually watches the Suns?
Actually,
Suns fans don't watch the Suns. I know they're good, but what type of player
is he? He's a type of player, and Saints supporters are like him because he puts his head in a trough. Like, he just goes in and he wins his own contested footy.
Yeah.
He's clean and he makes good decisions and he's skillful. The difference is they just simply had a couple of mids that were ahead of him. So if you look at Anderson and Rao, you talk about Brownlow medalists and, all Australian types, Flanders is thereabouts. He is not far off those guys in especially his ceiling. I really rate him. I think it's a great pick from the Saints. They gave up pick 7. If pick 7 was there, I would take Flanders, because he is going to be a 10-year player for the Saints now. He will. He'll play till he's 32. He's durable. He's not a heavy set guy. He'll be able to grind out at least 150 games for the Saints easy and do it at a really high level.
Well, he'll have to be good because we did lose one of the icons of a lot of Saints fans are really upset about the
who's that?
Zane Cordy.
Oh, Captain Jack got the flick and for a set of steak knives. Not even that, really. What did he get? The third round in 2027 draft.
Yeah, he had to
which
go,
which is basically worthless with Tasmania. So, did they need to clear the salary?
Yeah, he had to go.
He's just not going to get game time.
No, because I told you at the start of last year, put him in full forward, rejuvenate this midfield.
I think a lot of
it was a time for a change, and but he's a good fit for Melbourne. perfect. They've lost Oliver and Petraka. They're going to need some experience to go in there. Yeah. He'll be refreshed, ready to go, and he's just going to, you know, and it'll do him a world of good as well to get out of the Saints.
Good for Melbourne and Zach Steele, but is it good for St Kilda, do you think?
Yeah, it's good for St Kilda.
But does it
absolutely
have effect on the team? Like, no. Losing the captain?
No, not like, you've got Wilkie, mate. You've got these leaders there. You know, there's a new shift, a new vision now for the club and where they're going. And this is a good move from the Saints.
Well, I do get excited thinking about a midfield of TDK, Naz, Flanders and Windhager, amongst others. That's a bit more scary.
Get excited. Jules, you're all over the socials accounts. There's a lot of people upset.
Like a lot of people upset that Jack Steele's gone.
95% of the fans are really upset about it.
Upset, but a lot of understood as well when they heard the salary he was on. But it's tough. It's tough when you let go of a.
He was a fan. I think
the one thing that I wasn't too impressed with was the Leeka Lear situation. Mm. You know, the fact that they promised this guy, they said, "Hey, we're going to take you," and then they've just ripped it. You know, and clearly that was because of the budget, right? They paid overs for Naz, more tax on other guys. They've got Steele off their books to help out with their budget.
Players' remorse?
Yeah.
Or just future planning for this year with free agents, big free agents up this year.
Well.
Yeah, they've already said our man Cal Toomey and Riley Beveridge, they've already said that Bailey Humphrey could be one the Saints look at for next year. So they've already started speculating about the Saints. I think Saints fans will be upset to lose him because he has been such a warrior for us. But I don't think realistically we saw him playing in the midfield next year. It was more that defensive forward role we thought he could fill a void there. But maybe it's not necessary.
You don't want to pay that, put that player in that position.
Yeah.
But a leader, a captain of the club to play a defensive forward role, like that's for a young guy who's just learning his craft.
That's the thing.
You know, that for anyone that's 30 years of age, you don't want to be doing that unless you're winning flags.
Yes.
And the Saints are building to there, but they're not winning.
Well, like I said, it's a good. He's found a good slot in Melbourne. He'll be like he's a good pickup. Yeah. He's a top bloke, no problem.
Yeah,
like you said, you're getting rid of.
He's a good fit for Melbourne because the simple fact is they need to rejuvenate their culture and build better standards because obviously there's some behavioural issues. That's Jack Steele's perfect for that.
He looks happy there, which we're happy about.
It's going to be a good win for win.
And think about how many three votes Jack Loney will steal from him. All right, now just on the drive-by before the question.
Boom.
Now, just before we talk about trade history, I'm going to talk about one that came from 2009 that the Saints made. So for pick 16, everyone was really excited about this trade because it was a guy that would really feel what the Saints were lacking. So with pick 16, who did the Saints trade for in 2009?
I know.
I do know the answer to this one. I've asked this before, actually.
Yes.
Love it.
Dan Hannanbury? Is that right?
Andrew Lovett.
No, Andrew Lovett.
Oh, that one. Oh, geez.
You
want to
go
one
back to hell.
Oh, dear.
The dark periods in St Kilda history, the Andrew Lovett trade, pick 16.
Oh, of course.
That obviously, was you know, the terrible reason why he never played for the Saints. Like, it all fell apart. And we ended up going into that grand final with Collingwood without Lovett.
100%.
His skills. For the right reason why he didn't get to play. But, like, if he did actually turn out,
you just wonder, don't you?
Instead
you just
of wonder what the effect would have been.
Instead of Brett Peake or Robert Eddie. Is that what you mean?
Robert Eddie. Ross nearly won two flags for Robert Eddie and Andrew McCaulter. Mini McCaulter on the half-forward flanks. Not bad.
Yoss, do you want to tell us? I mean, I don't want to give too much away because we don't want to get anyone in trouble. But I will say, a lot of the Saints fans don't seem to care too much about the Leeka Lear thing falling through. But we have, I don't want to say inside knowledge, but I would like to say that he was very disappointed, and the people that people that are at St Kilda who have a connection with Leeka Lear and his agent are probably not too happy as well. That's all I'll say without getting into trouble.
Really good point. Yeah. Because look, we've all of us here been involved in business. You all have run your own business. Clint's been at a super high level in AFL. I've run lots of kitchens for a long time. It's about how you treat your people. That's what really upset me. The thing that really annoyed me, there are a lot of Saints fans that were quite happy that we blew Leek off because they weren't 100% sold on the deal, the value for it, which I agree the value was questionable. But the thing is how it was done. You make a commitment to someone, you woo him over 2 years, he makes a commitment to leave to your club, he plans his life out, you're planning this stuff out. It's like to go back on your word is like really piss poor running of any business, of any team. like if you're a leader, you lead from the front. And that's what it seemed like, there was a leadership void there, no football manager who was in charge. Because, you know, Gubby and Soss have done trades and drafting for how long? They know how the deals work. You can't treat people like that. And like there was a shock in the AFL industry for like that. And Clint's obviously got his connections. He can't give it all away, but he was the first one who told me straight away, you know, because I thought they would never do that to a huge manager, big manager, because they would get the blowback would be immediate. They've just done it because the guy's like small potatoes. But Clint Threw actually knew him, and he was the first to tell me, you know who else he manages? Big the dog. Flying Viking. One of St. Kilda favourites. And whose contract will be up. Called rookie contract will be up not this year but the next year.
So you're saying that the agent who manages Tyru manages Lee Kallir,
which Clint told me, because I went straight to the website and it wasn't on there. Clint told me.
We won't give too much away, but let that, because we don't want to get anyone in trouble. Let that sink
well,
in.
I mean,
Saints,
yeah, let it sink in.
Let
I mean,
that sink in.
I got it up here. It's on Footy on Nine on 9th of October. This came as a shock, and this was Dylan Smith saying this. They've been whining and dining him for 2 years. They love where he was at. And finally, he turned his head and he was ready. They got him. They had the meetings, convinced him that the Saints was where he should be. It was a good fit. It was a career move. 4 year playing beside Jack, Silvani and others. Today they'd backflip because they don't have the picks for him. It's disappointing. They should be prepared for this after 2 years of whining and dining. They couldn't get a future second rounder for him. I can't believe they could. Leak is not happy and, to be honest, livid with the situation. Clubs have even rung me and said, it's a disgrace what they have done. Nobody from the Saints has even spoken to him.
Is that public? Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
This is on Dylan Smith, Centimetre Perfect.
There you go.
Global. So.
We
shouldn't sugarcoat it. It was really poor business.
Yeah.
And the reality is, you're right, they didn't have a general manager at the time. Ross is running the show. So, and I know how a coach thinks. They're just thinking like...
I know how Ross thinks. He doesn't care.
Yeah. So like this... You've got to be really careful in this situation because decisions like this can come back and haunt you.
No, I think it's real. It reflects really poor on your values, and it's kind of in step with what some of the things that have gone on in the club before. Like even I wasn't 100% on board how they handled Jack Steele as well. It was sort of out of it. Was he already had his exit meeting, and you call him back in for a second exit meeting and say, oh, by the way, can he move on as well? Like I think you treat your captain a bit better than that. Like if you want to move him on, okay, but like to do that, I didn't think it was done great as well. Yeah. I think the optics weren't great. I just think it's like really, it's really
the only thing disappointing for me was like the Saints were going so well.
Yeah, exactly.
They were on a fly, and then it was just
maybe too.
Can
well.
I say this? Typical of the Saints to fuck it up and all this get out. And it's like, oh, you idiots. Like, you're doing so well. Everyone's on board.
Yep.
And then you just let this one come in. And it was like, ah, man, you're going so well.
It sucked the life out of us. Everything was going so well. Yeah. Everyone was jumping on board the Saints.
And I'm sure most Saints supporters that listen to this would feel that.
Yep.
They would have felt it and just went, oh, come on, we're doing so good.
Yeah.
I think we're quite happy. I think they're quite happy they shafted him.
Most were happy we got TDK, Flanders, etc. But many thought we were paying overs for Lee Kallir. I guess, again,
they don't understand what happens here.
Yeah, this is the same guy who manages
Tyru.
It's
business. How are you going to promote yourself to future free agents to go, oh, we're going to lock in this much?
I couldn't agree more. Are we going to go and have a dinner? Oh, no, dinner with the Saints. They might just drop me in the last minute. Like, seriously.
I was excited for
even Hawthorn have the same issue now, right? Yeah. They went after Oscar Allen and then Merritt, and they didn't get them done. And, you know, they're all up shit. You know, they're having big media wars happening. So next time you're like, Sam Mitchell, no, I'll talk to him. They got leaks like fun in Hawthorn. So you got to be really careful with it.
Especially with a club like St. Kilda. Like, winning papers over a lot, and we don't win.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, it's
like Geelong has a few controversies going on, but they do win a lot, so that covers up a lot of that stuff.
You know, true.
We don't have that sort of thing going on. So I thought it was pretty poor.
I hope Leek has a really good year next year. All right, sticking with our trade theme, I'm just jumping a little bit further to the present. To 2015 now, the Saints made two key trades. One was a defender and the other one was a midfielder. Can you name those two players? We traded the defender for pick 5 and 24, and we traded the midfielder for pick 63 in a future.
Carlisle was one, was it?
Jake Carlisle was that one?
Before he got his ban, 1 year ban. What was it? Did he actually get banned for the drug talking for a snort? God,
so many bits.
So many bad trades in the past. He moved Andrew Lovett, Carlisle. Dan Andrew.
Very poor deal. He was serviceable, Carlisle.
Who was the other one?
Right time.
The other one was, I'll give you a clue, then you'll know it.
What are we trading for?
Well, I've got pick 63 here in a round two in 2016, so the next year. He was a speedster who was supposed to be the next savior for the Saints midfielder. For the Saints midfield. Nathan Freeman.
Oh, Freeman.
Right. Which didn't end well either. So that was a wasted trade period. Hopefully not reminiscent of this trade period.
Well, he ended up on Survivor, so he did okay.
I think he was really fan favorite, old Nathan Freeman.
Oh, we loved
it. He tried so hard. He battled so hard. Just couldn't get the hammies right. Constant hamstring problems.
And then he came in for, I think, one game and then got dropped, I think, the next week. And then we knew at that point it was just...
Poor old, yeah. And I think that
just
time,
Richo
was on tour, AFL 360 on a weekly basis, and I think he got a bit pissed that they kept, what's going on with Freeman? Is he going to play? You know, like, oh my God. It was a bit of a drama. I think that was pretty poorly handled as well, to be honest.
We'll get into the draft soon. I just want to talk about someone that I'm very happy that stayed, Rowan Marshall. So there's a lot of rumours about Marshall being traded last minute, but we saw that photo of him looking cozied up with TDK. Apparently they're good mates. And I'm excited to see Rowe forward, Ruck as well.
Yeah.
Great player to keep in the Saints. Imagine coming up against the side and you see TDK and Rowe both in the side.
Well, should you debate it? What are they offered? They ended up offering pick 19, their first round, and they threw in a second rounder, I think, right at the end, typical of Geelong. if you want the guy, give us a good deal straight away.
Dempsey.
If we want to talk about draft, just chucking, going to the
what
whole
did they put in?
Hawthorn
thing. How much of 19?
Pick
19.
I would have
taken that.
I would have.
Yeah, I would have taken that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For 30-year-old Ruckman, I would have taken that for sure because.
Well, obviously, Rowe. They didn't want to get back into the draft, I guess.
I would have taken that and SDK, but sure.
Yeah, I would have taken that and then. Because the draft, there was a few players that missed, like, you know, Greaves and a couple of those guys were there.
Philippou, maybe,
you could have got his brother. So, anyway, not to be. Sliding doors.
We have 2 years to impress Naz, I think we need Marshall.
I think it's worth keeping him. It's Max King's issues and also the two.
Yes, agreed.
Five guys on the bench, more subs.
Yeah, true.
There's a lot of things in his favour.
The five on the bench would definitely help. I mean, that's why Freo have signed Mason Cox, right? Because they think they can, utilise three ruckmen now.
Ned Reeves got an extension to... 229. Like it's two rucks is coming.
There you go. Yeah. Well, why don't we talk about the draft then? So, Yoz, you probably know a bit. I will admit this isn't my specialty, the draft. I didn't follow along. Obviously, I saw the post and I saw we had a nice reaction from Kai Fincher from his family when he got drafted.
Because last year we had two NGAs, if people remember. I can't remember exactly who they were. The names slipped my mind at the moment. One of them got picked up by Geelong. One of them we passed on and no one else picked up. So, in the end, that looked like a fair decision. But I think it's good, even if you don't rate them 100%, it's good for you to build that sort of, like, that group, that envy. Same with father-sons. I was a bit annoyed that we didn't pick up Elwood Pickett, but at least he's in the VFL team this year. They've signed him up. Because I just sort of build that culture around that. So I'm glad we picked up Fincher. Obviously, he's got a lot of potential. I've just obviously read about what everyone else has read online. That he's got that potential to move in the midfield. He played that one game in the VFL for Sandy in the mid where he looked good. But I'm high on their first pick. We stitched up the Eagles again by bidding on their father son, Drew Banfield's son, Charlie Banfield, and he is a big unit.
Yes,
I like Boxall when we got him because he had that size, he had that potential, and he looks like he's. We went hard early saying he's going to be the next Dunkley.
Oh, sorry, we. You.
I did. I think the boys were on board with me on that one. Yep. But he's super smart. But anyway, on to Banfield. He's got his elite size, 192.
Wow.
Moves well on the wing. So
same as his dad, wing type.
Yeah, but he's got the physique of
But Drew Banfield was massive.
And he was like.
He was big.
Number one pick, Drew Banfield. Premiership
player. He was really
one
good.
Of the few number one.
So the West Coast couldn't match it?
They didn't have the points to
match
it. Yes.
Well done, Saints.
So that's a good. I really think he's a sleeper.
That's great.
One thing we do know about I can't remember who's in charge of recruiting now. Like we pinched him from the Swans.
Gubby Allen?
No, not Gubby. One of the guys. Mm. He was the Bulldogs list manager as well in 2016.
Dalrymple.
Dalrymple. Yeah. So he really nailed his late picks for Sydney. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling this will be a sneaky good one.
That's exciting. Banfield, we're going to keep an eye on that.
Very nice promising. Nice
name, Chef, Banfield. That's good.
Yes, and of course, for all the Ryan Burns fans out there, not to worry. We redrafted him. So Burns is back.
Love it.
Back in the team.
Interesting.
There's back a bit pocket, of, wing, yeah, forward.
There's a bit of bench. Talent still on the board. Like you said, Greaves is on there.
Yeah, Greaves. I like Greaves.
Noah Ibn Hardgreaves hasn't been picked up, hasn't been offered a trainer on this anywhere. So there's a bit of talent on the board. And then we redrafted or made Patrick Said in the rookie draft, so no rookie draft pick. Mm. But interestingly, we finally got that confirmation. Old Tex Wanganeen's got his training this spot on. So
he's doing the SSP, is he?
He's on the SSP.
He's so training on for it.
The knee poke.
Well, he got it. He got it.
He's got it.
He got it. Too. Oh, wow.
And beautiful. We've got another kid. I think, what's his name? I think Ainsworth. He's a bit of a X factor forward, so he's a train on this. So we got a couple of train on players, and that's been a good facility for a lot of teams to pick up players. Good, so you could have a look at them.
It's exciting.
It's interesting. Yeah,
it's a good way to encourage players to get down to your VFL program.
Well, like I said, obviously the Saints, they did their business in the trade period. Obviously, they didn't want a high draft because I think Ross realized this is a season they're going to have a proper crack, so they're not going to have a chance to integrate a kid into the team. They've already they had two high draft picks last year, Taru and Travaglia, who they do need to integrate to the team. So I think I kind of understand why they didn't look to get anything back for pick 7, because he's already got to get those two guys into the team bedded in. Mm-hmm. We need to see Travaglia in the team this year, see what he can do, because we do know who got Murphy Reid had a super year, a lot of clubs passed on him. So there's pressure to nail these guys, yeah? So we'll see these guys come on. Boxall, we know, is going to have a lot of opportunity. And Jack's not there. So I think that's the reason why we didn't go for many draft picks this year as well. Plus next year, they need to keep the capital for trade and draft.
Well said. Exciting.
So we know the Saints have a lot of higher draft picks this year.
This year. I thought we were going to delve back into history
We are. So 2018, we picked Max King with pick 4. But then we also picked up 4 players from pick 41 to pick 67. Now, if this will restore your faith in the Saints' ability to pick players late in the draft, hopefully this does. We've got 4 players here. One is a midfielder who moved to Collingwood. Anyone know that guy?
Yeah, Bytel.
Jack Bytel. Yep. The other one was a forward that apparently looked similar to Dustin Martin.
Matty Parker.
The other one was a halfback.
Oh, Matty Parker.
Matty Parker's skinny ass.
Comparing to
the other one was a halfback who did quite well for Essendon after we traded him.
Hines.
Yep.
Yep.
And the other one shares a name with a popular singer who did a grand final entertainment show.
What was the last one question?
The other one shares a first name with someone who did the Toyota AFL Grand Final pregame entertainment recently, a singer.
Which year was
it? I don't know what year he performed, but this was in 2018. He was a forward.
Oh, gee.
Let me entertain you. That's a clue.
What's his name? Robbie.
Robbie Young.
Yeah, Robbie Young.
Yeah. So just to recap all those, we had Jack Bytel, Matthew Parker, Nick Hind, and Robbie Young. Yes, so yes, I don't know if that fills you with confidence.
Back to me, coming back. So this was like, but let's go a bit of a history in there. Basically, they tried to build through the draft under Richo. We got all the guys that eventually didn't work out. Jack Billings, Luke Dunstan, Blake Akers. I think they went to the draft again. And this was their plan. Now we got these guys in. We're going to get a bit of a mature age talent. So remember when Matty Parker was a decent player, had a bit of excitement. Robbie Young didn't work. And who was the other one?
Hind,
Hind was a decent player.
Mate.
Yeah,
just not for us.
No, he was an Essendon as well, yeah.
Mate,
why don't we move him back?
He plays for Darley, man. I had to tag him twice this year. He's so fast. Kicks goals. He's a good player.
No, he's a good player.
Well, why don't we get into the preseason trend? I'm going to read out the 3-kilometre time trial and see what you think of this. So number one was, no surprise, Darcy Wilson, consecutive back-to-backs in the trial.
Ripped. Beast mode.
Two was our man, Brad Hill.
Mate.
Hill, number two. Yeah, mate, good.
But I reckon Brad Hill could get to 40 and he would still crack the top 5 in the club. Yeah. And I did see him, he's riding on his moped. He looked pretty fit. Looked pretty slimmed down a bit. He's great on fire, Ben.
Three was Marcus Wintager. I'm so excited to see him play next year. What a leader he's becoming. Mm-hmm. Four was Hugo Garcia, who is looking extremely quick.
All your favourites are up there, aren't they?
And five was Toby Travaglia.
Oh, that's surprising. Like that. Hey, good on him. He's hungry.
Wheels,
he might be hungry.
Wheels.
So, Trent, who's standing out preseason? Has anyone noticed anyone that's been working super hard? I mean,
who's got the best looking gun show?
I've been seeing a lot of AI recently on Instagram. The Sora in the video, and then I saw this guy that's got bloody.
Where's this bike?
The flying Viking. No, I haven't seen him yet. I saw this bloke just bulging out. There's muscles everywhere in spots you don't even think you can get muscle. And that was Darcy Wilson. Everyone knows this guy's packed on the muscle already. I don't know what he's doing, but for someone who can run as long as he can and finish his last game of the year with 5 goals on the wing, we should all be very excited about Darcy Wilson.
To be fair, guys, it is a big year for Wilson. He had a bit of a second-year blues. He showed at the end again why we know he's such a good player. But there was a day old purple Damien Barrett was floating a few rumours. That's when it was at the peak of the Saints. There was disgruntlement with the whole playing group. Everyone was leaving. Naz was leaving. And this story slowly slipped in there that Darcy Wilson wasn't happy about playing in the seconds, and that Ross said that he asked to be dropped to the seconds. There's a bit of discontent over that, but I think it's a huge, like, Jules has brought up the picture.
I pulled it up. Darcy Wilson, bloody beast. What the heck is he been on? He's been working out with Reese Matheson or something.
He looks good.
He's on the creatine. Did you see Boxall's one?
Yeah, Boxall, I saw that as well. Jeez.
So what do you reckon, Coach Brock? Are we?
Yeah. That's why Jack Steele had to go. But guys like this to come on. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's exciting. It's a lot of depth.
I agree.
For
I think
some
Wilson's going to be
and Ross never meshed old Jackson, Jackie boy in here. I think just he's coming off his
young
peak,
talent
to be honest.
At the Saints.
Would have been on a good
It's exciting.
I'm surprised Naz wasn't in that list because he never looks like he gets tired even after going on those, you know, those 100-meter sprints that he does.
Run all day.
But that list is very promising. 4 of those are youngsters who play throughout the midfield, so that's really exciting.
Yeah, let's pump it up. We're going for finals this year. So
absolutely.
What we do like about is the intent of the decisions. They may not be 100%.
Are we here guaranteed. Now? Are we going here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, a lot of blokes will get the arse or you'll do well.
Yeah, oh, that's it. I think.
Because you make decisions like this, Ross does and the club. Like the media are going to come hard which is good. And you're in some prime time spots now. Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of eyes on the Saints. And the reality is the only way you're going to be successful is these younger guys have to stand up because you know what you're going to get with Flying Ryan and, you know, a couple of these guys. They're going to give you moments and they'll give experience, things like that. But these guys you recruit are not the reasons you win. They help you, but where you get your improvement from and your development is from those guys you just mentioned there, Wilson and Garcia. Yep. They have to elevate their game for the Saints to win. And if they don't, mate, blokes will get the flick.
Well, round one against Collingwood would be telling, won't it? Yeah. Round one against the Pies.
Is it ground zero? Are we actually confirmed we are in ground zero? Are you boys going
to
go? Because I really
we'll definitely be there. And a lot of eyes will be on the Saints for that game. If we get done by 60 points in that game, the media will jump on us. But no, I think we'll be up and about for that game against the Pies.
But those type of excuses won't be... Won't be able to be used next year. Those type of performance, those type of excuses, those performances like the Bulldogs getting rolled 70 points.
Can I throw something out there, real spanner in the works too? I actually don't think Ross will coach in 26.
Well, is he coach? No. Is he actually coach?
Well, he's in 2026.
What is he doing, Ross?
So this is the strangest thing. You have not got a head of footy yet, right? And they're talking about Corey Enright being this... You know, the next thing, there is every chance that Ross doesn't coach and becomes the head of footy and runs the whole show and Enright coaches.
I would actually prefer.
I reckon footy is going this way. And in a sense, in years to come, it's going to be like this. It'll be just like that high level.
Big call.
And I thought, you know, who did it really well? Sydney. Longmore, I just went, no, that's it, I'm done. And then all of a sudden, I was like, I know, be paying good odds. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
Wow. Well, at least it would show some type of plan because let's get to it. We do not have a footy boss. It's really.
No, it is odd. It is odd.
I really dislike this about the Saints that they do this sort of stuff. Like, doesn't seem planned, which is surprising me because the president runs a big company. He knows how successful places work. Obviously. Football clubs compared to businesses are different things. We've all seen people who come from successful business backgrounds.
Well, for what it's worth, the other thing I had is because I added Jimmy Allen just recently as a development coach from Werribee. Literally happened 2 weeks ago, a week ago. And I was just like, add another coach this time of year. It's odd. And then they haven't got a head of footy and Ross is in that role. I'm like, maybe they're going to do this. Maybe. I don't know. Could be the easiest, quickest way to deal with the, you know, let's be honest, when a coach gets sacked, it's the biggest drama and drag out forever, isn't it? Where if you just rip the band-aid, get it done.
Unless you've got move into the year. Like,
so that's my prediction. I think that's a chance.
Wow, you're right. That probably would be paying long odds, but it would be a very bold call and a very good call if it comes off.
Well, it's a bold call because there are good candidates out there, aren't they, Clint? We discussed we'd all love Jimmy Bartel.
I would say they give Ross another
Jimmy Bartel, your safe Lloyd. Pick like Brad Lloyd or anyone. Simon Lloyd. They're all there. There's heaps of good footy people, but they haven't gone there. Mm.
Shall we do a question?
All right, so I'm going to restore your faith in the Saints' ability to pick up some late gems. So in 2021, we got the great Nasir at pick 11, but we also got two players, one at pick 33 and one at pick 47.
Yeah, our two boys. Best of the roomies, that's his roommates.
That's right.
Mindy, eh?
Go on, name them yours.
Go on, Mindy and my favourite, Mitchy.
Yes, Owens. Mitch Owens.
Big year for Mitch Owens as well. Players.
Pick 33 for Mitch Owens and pick 47 for Marcus Windego.
We've got some good depth with some youngsters.
So you look at a Banfield at pick 41 and a Fincher at 52 and just don't write them off because of those numbers.
These are the type of picks that make your premiership team.
That's right.
You know, geez, Saints are up.
Croc,
premiership team.
Well, I'm not just saying of one. Can. Mate, I've been through many premiership sort of era. Chris Pelchin premiership plan, but went flat on its face, mate.
Rock, you had on the agenda something about the new VFL program.
Oh, Chef called for it on the chat. Okay, is this what you want?
Like,
you go.
We made the bold decision. Obviously, it was a rabble down. I don't know what was going at Sandy last year, but it was disgraceful. Like, there was no wins. There was no progress. It was like, so they've split.
Yeah,
we've set up our own VFL team, and like everyone's, great, we've set up our own VFL team. But Clint knows about coaching VFL. He coached Hawthorn VFL. Mm-hmm. He was a head coach. He knows all the intricacies about setting up a successful VFL program, and that's what we want. A thing that feeds and perpetuates the success of the first team. So, Clint, how would you do that with all your experience?
All right, Chef.
It's not easy.
No. So, for what it's worth, I put together a 5-point action plan to do if I was setting one up. Because one of the things that the AFL clubs, they're a bit naive to the VFL. And look, it's not like through arrogance or anything. It's just because that they do things at the AFL in a full-time capacity. But the VFL is set up essentially of 80-90% of your staff are part-time or volunteers. So you have to, like, it's quite unique in that sense. And so one of the first things that the Saints have to do is allocate the right funding. So you've got to have the resources set up. And if you don't budget for this at the start, because what happens in the AFL program now, that money in the soft cap, essentially that feeds all the coaches and medical staff and everyone, filters, that now is a part of the VFL program. Where if you have an alignment with Sandringham, they have their own budget, okay? And that might be, I don't know, 150, 300 grand to pay your coaches and volunteers and part-time staff. All of a sudden, the soft cap now at the Saints takes that on. So if you don't set it up correctly at the start, you'll have your development coach coaching with a couple of his blokes from the Saints. And let's be honest, that's a double shift if you think about it, because if it's just been to Perth, they're going to come back and now do the VFL. And then next day it's like reviews. So these guys are working like 120 hours a week. That's not sustainable. So you have to allocate the right funding. And if you don't get that right, then you can't set up the structure. So that would be what I would get right first, because otherwise you're going to be chasing your ass, and I'll explain why.
Yeah.
So the second one is your head coach, because that coach is going to need to be experienced in regards to athlete development, of course, and developing players and helping them, but then understand community community, like the connection to community, because it is a community sort of, place. Then he needs to understand, Coates League, other VFL clubs, other state league clubs, what's happening in that space, and also community footy itself. So that's critically important. Yes?
Can I ask a question? Do we have the right man in charge?
Well, I mean, I know BJ pretty well. Yeah. I don't know, but I don't know him as a coach. So it'd be hard for me to give an opinion on that.
Like,
he's only had 1 year, right? He's only had 1 year at the Saints.
You like to coach against him?
Yeah, sure.
No, but
Well, with respect to BJ, I'm happy to say this. I'm more experienced coach than BJ because I've coached for a longer time. He's better, more experienced player than me, but I have coached longer, so there'll be things that he's still learning. But he's got to have the right people around him. That comes back to the resources. So the head coach is really important. You've got BJ at the moment. It's critical to have the right people around him. The third thing is around your list management. This is the most important thing. And I think the Saints have done it pretty well because they've used their SSP. So you use that SSP as a lever. So you're only talking to a young guy who's over in Perth or whatever, missed out in the draft. You say, mate, come and sign with the Saints and we'll give you, you know, 3 weeks to train on for an SSP. So you should be trying to, you know, get at least 4 or 5 of them and legitimately say to them, look, if you impress well enough, there's a spot there. And for what it's worth, if I was setting it up, I would make sure that one, there's a list spot open right up until the start of the season starting for one of those 5 boys. So I'd identify 5, get them all from around the state. And there might be players come off the AFL list. You sign with the Saints VFL program, done. You're guaranteed a preseason with the Saints and one of you 5 will get picked. That's the deal. So that's how I would set it up.
You take a guarantee from the Saints at the moment?
Well, yes. I don't know. Yeah, mate.
I 100% agree. But
I know what you're saying, yes. But I would set it up. And then so then you get 5 players on your list. So you do it that way. The other thing is to make sure you've got the locker room sorted. So you can't go out and recruit essentially 15 VFL players that expect to play every week. Because now you're an aligned, you're a standalone VFL program. You're only going to have 6, maybe 8. You know, if you've got injuries, you're going to get 10 or 12 playing, but you're only going to have 6. So you identify five key players that play every week, non-negotiable. Like they're just in all the time and they're really good for the young guys that are coming through. And let's say that they're 30-game AFL players types that have been delisted, but you come and they've still got the hunger to get on. So they're your 5 locks. You get your 1 or 2 VFL stalwarts, identify a couple of them that are looking for coach development. So they're like late 20s. Things like that, looking just to add value to your program and get experience. So I'd have 1 or 2 of them, and that's just 6 to 7 tops. But those boys, particularly those 1 or 2, they're not fussed if they're not playing because they're coaching as well. And I'd have them, and I'd use that basically that money then to support, you know, that because, again, resources gets tight and they can help out at the VFL program as well because you don't want your AFL coaches coming to those sessions. Because then you're just, mate, these guys are just working all day, come down to the Saints, it's just too much work. So you've got to have that set up really well. The next body of players is sort of the 6 to 10. And they're guys that are essentially, you know, played some really good footy in local footy and maybe have been on other VFL lists but haven't ever played or they've played 1 or 2 games that you're here and you say, hey, if you get an opportunity, you might be able to take it. But you're not the first picked. You know, they're just happy to play. So you've got your 6 or 7, your 10 guys that have been in and around the you know, high level for a little while and they're just looking for chances. And then you just, the other bottom, you know, let's say I think there's probably another 5 or 7, they're just coach league players. Missed out in the draft, have never really played senior footy, understand elite environments, and they're just happy to be on the list. And then that way, the key thing about the list itself is the connection to the locker room. And then all of a sudden you know who your big dogs are, and I'm just talking VFL program, the 5 boys you identified for SSP, your 2 development coaches, your core players here that are just going to make training better and maybe get a spot, and then your kids. And that's the list set up. The next one is the head of development for the VFL. Sorry, it's taking a little while. The head of development for the VFL, not the AFL. So the key thing here now is to make sure you've got someone that's communicating. This is where it gets real tricky. To all the local coaches. So every player that's not playing on that list is going to have a local club. So you need to be feeding and talking to all the local clubs. So this role, even though it's not an AFL role, it's a VFL role, is really important because he keeps connected to all the coaches and understands the player's development and feeds that to BJ and everyone like that at match committee and where they're going. So that connection, that head of development is sees all that. And he works with the coaches as well and ties it in. And then the last thing is around the coaching staff. Given the fact that the Saints have done the right thing and allocated the right funds, they get the right people in to help out. So, you know, VFL programs, they're probably spending 10, 15 grand on an assistant coach part-time. You need at least 3 of them, you know, at least some development coaches to help out as well. Now, I don't know if the Saints will do that. They probably don't have the money. But I do know that a lot of AFL programs that have had problems with their VFL program, it's all come back to their allocation of funding in the, because it comes under the soft cap. Right. And if you, and then once you start asking volunteers to come and help, you're up shit creek. That's a real issue. And I know that that's some of the problems that AFL clubs have got into. So that's how I'd settle up. And if they do that really well, they can be successful.
Oh, thank you. Well, glad. For all the fans out there, there's a difference between us talking about football and Clint and the professional talking about football. Like, it all makes complete sense. It's like how you set it up properly. If you don't set up properly, it's
like the kitchen chef, right? You've got to have roles. Yeah.
Well, because ideally you want a thing that develops your own players for the team, but you also develop the players and he gets drafted to other players, because you all had that when you were at Willie. Yeah?
Oh, at Willie.
How many players
did you have? Heaps for a period of time. We had Schultz.
Yep.
You know, now Collingwood, they gave up first round for him. Bewley,
yeah.
Mate, he was a gun. You know, there's a lot of good players. Gibbons and likes, Adam Marcon, you know, yeah, there's heaps.
It will be a real test of how far the club has come if they do this. I think they do have some, they got some good experience under Goddard.
Mate, they got Damien Carroll. Mate, Carroll's awesome, right?
And they got the former premiership coach. Said they hired as well from.
Oh yes, they got Jimmy Allen back there now. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so Jimmy would be good. So they've got some good VFL experience in. Yeah. So yeah, I think they'll be okay as long as they set the foundations right. Nice.
All right. So in 2020, we picked someone up in the mid-season draft with pick 20.
Sorry, which one did we say?
In year 2020, we picked someone up in the mid-season draft with pick 20.
Was there a mid-season draft in 2020?
Well, it says he was acquired via the mid-season draft pick 20.
There you go.
All right.
In 2020?
Before COVID.
All right, okay, let's go with it.
Can anyone name me that player? He's a handy addition to our forward line.
Now?
He's
still playing. Hang on.
Jeez.
2020?
I'm going to say, like, he's not even there. Owens or one of them? Or?
No, 2020.
Who is it?
Cooper Sharman.
Oh, Sharman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was mid-season, Chef. He was.
Mid-season.
He was mid-season. Yeah. What a pickup. Wow, is that back in 2025? Yeah. Years now, mid-season's been right.
We also picked up Max Heath with pick 7 in the mid-season draft. And that hasn't worked out for us, maybe for Melbourne.
Max Heath. No, he's a good player.
we'll see how it goes.
Well, Maxie. Moose.
Well, I don't know what much to give you here other than the fact that I did manage to finish as number one Saints fan across men's and women's in the end.
So what happened to the women? Let's get the full story. How close were you to winning the actual car in the women's comp?
Well, I can't win the car. That's the irony.
If you could win the car, you were leading there.
Yeah, I was leading. So surprisingly, I think with two to three rounds to go, I was finished. I was ranked top for the whole competition. So I sent it to you boys and said, I'm ranked one here. I could be on my car here. The car that I can't win. And then with one round to go, I drifted out to top three in a really good spot, though. Only 70 points off the leader, which is not much in fantasy.
Yeah.
We got three trades in W. So made three trades and they just didn't go my way in the last round. Nothing that happened out of the ordinary. Just I needed to make a few bold moves to chase up those 70 points. They didn't come off. So I ended up finishing 6 overall.
That's brilliant.
Like I said, the irony is that I finished top Saints fan for both codes and they offered me a St Kilda jersey, which I had to decline on both occasions because I can't win that either.
Bullshit. A jersey? That was a jersey, though.
Did they give you a cap?
The jersey. It's just a jumper.
It's got value to it, though.
We raffled that off on the Saints.
Because it's signed.
No, well, it's got value to it. I can't, as an employee. Those are the rules that you can't claim any prizes, as you might have seen in the news when Brody Grundy's brother won and couldn't claim the car. So.
Brody Grundy's brother? So does that mean if I all of a sudden have a really good year next year, fantasy, I'm in trouble or what?
We don't know each other next year. No, but it was good fun, and I've been saying for years, I feel like my luck just wasn't quite there in the last couple of years because I was finishing just shy of the top 100, and I thought I could do it, and this year it all came together. So looking forward to next year. We need to definitely create a Saints or Sinners League where we can, you know, have everyone who follows the podcast get involved.
We should do that. I think next year, for those listening, we will come up with a few different segments and I guess some things to get the lovely little community we're building together. We should wrap up soon, but let's give our early predictions for next year. We are going to dedicate a full episode next year on our predicted lineup for 2026 and probably go into this in a bit more detail. But why don't we go around the panel and just say where we think the Saints will finish next year? We all tend to agree that we'll be in finals, which
let's wait and see.
The wild card included.
I was gonna say,
oh, shit, the wild card's in.
I think that's a good
okay.
I think with the Saints run home, especially that we finished the year, I think from round 13 or 14 in Melbourne, we don't travel after that. There shouldn't be many excuses to not making the top eight. So I think obviously that's what we're aiming for finals. If we get Max King on the park and these recruits, we didn't mention earlier in the podcast, the new rule with no bounces should hopefully suit Tom DeConin as well. So I think if you factor everything in and everyone's fit and firing, then I would say that we should finish in the top eight. Where, I'm not brave enough to say yet.
Chef?
I think like it, obviously there's the top end of if everything goes right, all the recruits hit, you nail everything, all the kids step up, the injuries are okay, we got a decent enough draw. I think you look at bottom half of the eight and the wild card round for this year. You know, I think it's like to expect everything to gel completely and go for the top four, it's not going to happen. But I think the potential is there. I think I really like our young talent. And I think I agree 100% with what Clint said. Like, these guys were brought in, they're going to be the icing on the cake. Maybe Flanders might be a bit more in tune with that younger group, but it's where Naz goes, where Windy goes. Does Owens have a strong year? Huge X factor that we've all forgotten because he just didn't get on the park is Max King. If you get out a 50-goal game forward to your team, that's going to make a big impact. Cooper Sharman, another year of development. Like, where does the Viking fit in? Where does Trevalier have a brilliant second season where he shows why he was that top pick? So I'm looking at that. I'll be happy with that bottom half of the eight and wild card round. I think that's a realistic. I just want to see better team, better club.
Yeah.
Play better.
Brock.
Be better.
Sorry, everyone. Brock, apologize
on,
in advance.
Come on, do it.
Oh, no.
About 11th. Now, what's going to happen is, I'll just tell you how it is, right? The connection is so hard to get early. TDK tapping the old mate who doesn't know where he's going and all this. It's just, so your clearance is going to take a while to get going. You know, and look at you, Bucks. You look so sad because you're like, surely this is the year. I know. Yeah. I know. But it doesn't work like that. It takes a bit. It'll take a bit. There'll be some. The Saints are going to be like Jekyll and Hyde. One week you'll be like, wow, that was just so awesome. Next week they'll get beat by someone they shouldn't lose to. So it's going to be a bit like that. So, but the hard thing is going to be the synergy and connection and getting that right, particularly because Max King is still not training. Right? He's still not on the park, and TDK is obviously not on the park either. So they've got to get time and connect because those two guys are so important. I can't stress it enough. It's your ruck and your key forward. Everything comes off that. And then I'm just looking at the other teams. Like, who are they going to push out apart from Collingwood? Like, the other 10 are still there. Sydney will get better. Bulldogs are going to get better. And the rest of the eight, they're going to be fine. They're going to be there again. So the Saints have work to do.
Gold Coast might be fine. They started five.
Well, Petrarca.
Yeah, so like, I just feel like as much as I love the work that the Saints have done in the offseason, I think they've generated some really good movement and a good vibe. And it's like, at least they're having a crack, right? And it might work. It might work. But it ain't working just yet. It might work in a year after, though, because it does take a bit while.
Could fall apart, right, mate. We could be
potting. And the other thing is, like, yeah, if it does fall apart, doesn't, it will go bad quickly because the media, they're ready. They're hungry.
We know everyone.
Which is why I think Ross and Enright is a good move. I think it protects the team for a little bit because I think Ross is all in. And so are these new recruits, and they're going to get like polarized. Like, Liam Ryan's come in, he's doing nothing, just selling rugs. Like, you know, like, and they're going to put pressure on these guys. But it's about the underbelly getting better, and that's still another year away. So if they move Enright into this role, they can work their way into it and then become great. That would be my move.
Well, I've seen the comments from probably mostly Carlton fans when TDK did his calf. I can agree that the fans and the media are out to get us. Wait,
has he actually done his calf or just a little bit?
I think he's okay.
It's not a good sign, though. Niggles early. It's not a good sign. Surely he gets a pre-season and fucking train.
Well, if I thought a Carlton player.
He didn't even play for Carlton at the end.
Someone on social say, how can he be injured? He hasn't done anything.
I'll be honest. If I was a coach, I'd be like, what the hell?
Didn't do anything. He accepted a pretty big check. All right.
Yeah. Sore leg from carrying that suitcase.
I know he's getting out of his Ferrari, that all.
It'd be very interesting. I tend to agree with basically what everyone has said. Yoss, I think it kind of needs to be best case scenario. Like, all our key players need to stay in the park. If Wilkie goes down, our back line is not that strong still, if you look at it. And we can't expect Jasos to play 23 games or whatnot.
You don't
just suddenly not become injury prone just because you change clubs. And then I was thinking like top six, top four, and then I looked at their sports bet predictor for the top eight. They've got Saints sitting right on that edge around ninth or so, and I looked at the top eight that they had, and they were very strong teams. So that's the tricky part. But, you know, there's always surprises every
Watch
year.
Watch out, Sydney. Will drop out. Sydney Swans, mate.
Yeah, there's this quality teams like, up there.
Oh, yeah.
Adelaide, Geelong.
Bulldogs Brisbane, getting better.
The Giants, yeah. Still Hawthorn. So it's tough to, where the Saints fit in there.
It's a big separation. And then you look at the bottom, and they just look like they're staying there. So
we're going from 12th to 11th, yeah, essentially. Yeah. We're going up one.
Yeah.
I still like to think finals, and I am buying a membership that will guarantee me finals tickets. So that's what I'm banking on.
Like
the Saints playing finals. Any final comments, questions, feedback before we wrap up?
Been good to catch up. Too long.
Absolutely. And just one more quick one on fantasy. Sam Flanders is listed as a forward, so every fantasy player will have Sam Flanders
forward
in their team
mid?
Next year. Forward mid.
Oh, okay.
Every fantasy player is going to enjoy Sam Flanders, which is funny. You'll see so many players, so many fantasy players cheering him on.
And poor old McRae.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of Saints or Sinners. If you haven't subscribed yet, you can do that by clicking that follow button on Spotify. And we are continuing to monitor our DMs and followers at Saints or Sinners Pod on Instagram.
One more thing, Clint. How many days is the second test going to go? D9 Brisbane?
Geez, mate, two. It'll be maybe three. Early morning of the third.
You're going to be, oh, you win the toss.
Can you imagine the night session, how that, they're going to be nicking for fun.
If you reckon there's a media frenzy over the Ashes, wait if the Saints crash and burn next year, they'll be you all over Ross. Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's why he's got to move to the head of footy, and Corey Enright's the man.
If this is our last episode before the end of the year, have a good Christmas and New Year's, and we'll see you next time on Saints or Sinners.
Saints go marching.